You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Fear's an interesting thing, isn't it? The other day I was watching a video of somebody who was playing with one of those goggles that are their virtual reality goggles. And there he was standing in a mall, a big space with lots of floors. But the picture that he was looking at had him on the edge of a cliff. And somebody came behind him and tried to push him. And his reaction was in total fear. He was backing away, pushing away. Now, all that was happening was that there was an image that he was seeing that was making him fearful that he was about to fall off the edge, in spite of the fact that there's a part of him that knew there was nothing really going on, that it was all imagined because he was standing in a mall. He knew he had gone to the mall. He knew that he had picked up the virtual reality glasses. He knew he'd put them on. And he knew everything, somewhere in his brain, knew that everything going on was an illusion. And yet fear grabbed him and held him tight, so much so that he was frozen in place and fighting to stay away from the ledge that he was seeing in his eyes, but was nowhere near where his feet were. Isn't it interesting how fear gets us? So many times through the week, I hear from people who are completely caught up in fear. And what's interesting is fear does two very different things internally. One is fear freezes many people. And two is fear agitates many people. Very interesting how an almost opposite place. Some people really get stuck in that frozen spot and they can't do anything. They are just so fearful of what's going to happen. So if it's about their relationship, they are so fearful that they're going to do something wrong, or so fearful that their spouse is going to leave them, or so fearful that their significant other is going to bail on everything. And so they do nothing. And then there are those who have an activation to their fear that agitates them. It gets them moving and not particularly helpful ways. And so they're desperately doing everything, anything and everything. They're throwing everything, including the kitchen sink, at the relationship, trying to get it turned around. And in the process, are only creating deeper problems. If you've heard me talk, you know how much I believe that fear captivates us, but doesn't have to. Fear is a natural response until you understand it and you begin to get a hold of it. If you don't get a hold of it, it will dominate your life and it will destroy your relationship. That domination and destruction that fear creates is partly because we misunderstand the realities of fear. Just like that person with that virtual reality on, he was believing he was at the edge of the cliff, when in actuality, he was on a flat surface and had plenty of room to move. Fear does that. It fools us into thinking that we are on the edge of disaster, and we begin to react out of that. Now, what happens when there's an external part to that fear? Well, if internally fear freezes you or agitates you, externally fear can feel very angry to the other person, and it can feel very repelling to the other person. So fear can both feel very angry and very repelling. It's just not very attractive to be around somebody who is in that anxious, fearful state. That's how fear keeps us stuck. It keeps us stuck sometimes because it does freeze us, and it keeps us stuck sometimes because it agitates us, but in no way in a good way. Sometimes it keeps us stuck because the other person feels that there is anger coming at them. And sometimes it feels that way because the other person wants to get away from you. And so in both instances, internally and externally, fear can keep you frozen and stuck. You may feel like you're doing a lot of action. And that is the interesting thing as I watch that. People will call me and they say, you know, you say that I ought to do something to save my marriage. I'm doing everything I can to save my relationship. And sometimes that's the problem. Everything they can is not anything they should. It is following their instinct, which is not always the best. When we're under stress, our instinct is either to freeze in place or to flee, right? That's that fight or flight place where we can either do that fighting thing where we're doing everything we can, we're trying to figure out anything, and the flight is when we're trying to get out of the way, and then there is that freeze place. You can see that in nature. You know, rabbits usually freeze in place, and so you see those responses, and they all end up doing the same thing. Nothing logical, nothing helpful. They just get us in panic mode, and panic mode is where fear gets us stuck. It's interesting to me when I watch this whole process because, you know, there are some truths about love. And one is that nobody ever falls in love out of fear. You're not going to fear your way into a new relationship, and you're not going to fear your spouse into a new relationship. They don't work together. In fact, our brain understands only one of two modes, and that is fear or love. When it has to try to do both together, it might read excitement, but it's not really reading one or the other. Your brain is either going to function on fear if you allow it to run its course, or it's going to function on love if you switch to that. Love and appreciation if you switch to that. Fear is kind of an automatic default setting. It's there because it keeps us alive and keeps us away from dangers. The problem is it keeps us away from real and perceived dangers, not just real dangers. And so when we allow that fear to activate, when we allow that fear to continue, we're in trouble. So let me say very clearly that if you feel fear, that's natural. That's just part of how our human body is designed. It automatically feels fear. The question is what you do with that fear afterwards. Do you use that fear to activate your desperation, which activates your desperate actions, which only creates a repelling effect on your spouse? Either they see you as angry or as repelling. Either one of those have the same effect. They push the other person away. So does your fear lead to desperation? Does your desperation lead to desperate action that then leads to a strong reaction from your spouse or your significant other to stay away? Or do you decide to use the fear as an indicator of something that's important? Do you use it as a focuser? Do you use it as an indicator that there's something to pay attention to? Fear can be used as an avoidance indicator or an importance indicator. An avoidance indicator is where you're trying to avoid whatever you fear might happen, or you're trying to avoid whatever's making you fearful. An importance indicator is only saying, this is important stuff. Pay attention. Make sure you're responding the way that you want to. Make sure that you use the fear to focus and move into right action. And when you move into right action, you're all about your growth and your connection and the recovery of your relationship. Notice the difference of those two things. They both start with fear. But one ends up with a repelling of a spouse, and the other ends up in growth and connection and recovery. A lot of times people say, can you promise me that I'll be able to save my relationship? And what they're asking me to say is, can I promise they don't have to go through the fear? That's not a possibility. The fear is telling you that there's something important going on here. There's something that's changing in your life that you need to move into. The fear is telling you that there is a shift going on, that there is something important in your life that's standing up to you and saying, hey, I need your attention. Pay attention to the fear. Don't allow the fear to turn to desperation. Don't allow the fear to get you off of your plan. Don't allow your fear to distract you and make you either freeze or agitate you and make you do everything. Remember that the focus is what's important. The fear is inevitable. We're always going to have these things that make us fearful in life. We're always going to have things that bring up those very base instincts of freezing or fleeing or fighting. But when we recognize that that's what's stirring, we begin to move to a different level and saying, how do I address this? So how do you address the fear? Well, first is to understand it. Understand it is natural. Understand that it is there for a reason, but also understand that it doesn't have to run the game. It doesn't have to run your life. It doesn't have to insist on it having its way. You can decide to use the fear not to feel desperation and desperate action, but to find focus and to choose right action. Now notice that important word, choose right action. Desperate action is not chosen. It happens automatically if you don't choose right action. And right action is generally about creating a plan for changing yourself, for connecting with your spouse, for creating a new path for your relationship. Now, we've just broken it down into the three key elements, and part of what fights fear is knowledge. If you have a framework to understand, it can be very helpful. So here are the only three things you need to focus on in your efforts to save your relationship. One is to connect with your spouse. That's what's been missing from relationships. Connection is the lifeblood of any relationship. So connecting with your spouse, that doesn't mean overwhelm your spouse with attempts of trying to woo them. It doesn't mean to try to be with them every moment and hold them tight and hold them close, but to connect with your spouse. The second piece is to change yourself. That doesn't mean that there's something broken with you, that there's something wrong with you, but that you're on a path of improvement. A lot of times in our lives, we get to the place where we're just no longer growing anymore, that we're stagnant. And what I find more often than not is when there is a relationship problem, part of it is that the people have become stagnant in the relationship. They've become stagnant in their own life. They've stopped connecting with each other. They stopped growing. They stopped becoming who they need to be. They stopped focusing on being an impact in the world and finding meaning and purpose in the world. And they're just kind of floating through life. Maybe some things have changed. Maybe the kids have grown up and suddenly you don't feel like a parent anymore. Maybe your job has grown stale and you don't feel like whoever you became at that point. Or maybe you've just decided you're in a grown-up now and grown-ups don't have any fun and grown-ups don't learn anything new and you stopped growing. Time to change that. Not time to fix yourself, but to change yourself, to improve yourself, to grow to a different place. When that happens, first, you'll bring more life into your own life. And second, you'll bring more life into the relationship, more energy into the relationship. And then the third piece is creating a new path. Generally, what I tell people is what you've been doing has gotten you to here. The path you've been on for your relationship has gotten you to here. Here is not what's working. There, where we want to get to, takes a new path, a different path. A path of becoming a we, a team, being in this together. Those are the only three pieces that need your focus. Fear does not need your focus. It'll float around in the background. It'll nip at your heels, but it doesn't need your focus, and it will not help you with your focus. So instead, focus on those three C's. Create connection. Change yourself. Create a new path. Connection, change, create a new path. Those are the parts that will lead you through this process in a very simple, direct way and will guide your right action. You create a plan. Know how you want to do this. You manage your connection. And one of the big things that I've learned over time is that when people are trying to connect, if they're not careful and they're trying to connect through their fear, they crowd the other person. They fill up the space between them and they leave no room for a relationship. All they do is take over the relationship. They fill the emotional space. And that's when I hear people saying, hey, I need some space. I need some room. I need to separate. I need to get away. Don't let that be you. Choose to connect in healthy, useful ways. Now, if you're sitting here going, I don't know how to do that, I've got a system, the Save the Marriage system, that walks you through that step by step. And if you've gotten my system and you say, you know what? I've got the how to do it, but I can't get it activated because I've got so much fear within me. That's time to say, maybe I need a little more help, a little more guidance, a little more training, and a little more coaching. And for that, we have the virtual coaching program, the VIP program of Save the Marriage. If you're interested in either of those, please check out the related resources on the webpage. And what you want to look for is first to fill in with those podcasts that I've recommended. I recommend some podcasts that are related to this so you can kind of grow your knowledge base and get a clear understanding of where you're going to go. But then it's time to step up and say, you know what? I'm in on this. I'm going to go for it. I'm ready to go pro, to really take this seriously, to step up and really work on this. Grab the Save the Marriage system. Once you have the Save the Marriage system, if you still say, you know what? I need a little more guidance, a little more help. That would be perfectly normal. And that's why we have the VIP program. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.